Do you have any more questions for Ion?
They said that Saint-Germain had some drops to keep young. And for example, at the time of Frank the First, they were using some type of gold liquid. There is in some chronicles, somebody speaks about these drops that Saint-Germain was selling. They were supposed to take each decade, like one drop, and then the next decade two.
Wow.
The three, and like that.
Oh, okay, well, what's
so
the question?
He was selling drops. No. They were droppings.
Yeah, no, let's ask
Did
Aya.
They had something similar to the drops?
To RNA drops?
No.
Was the born of the drops?
What did Saint Germain have?
No.
No.
It was fruit.
Fruit juice?
Spirulina.
Spirulina, okay. You know what that is?
Yes, because this is alga.
Yeah.
Algae.
Yeah.
I know algae.
They kept uncorrupt after death. So for me, that's like a proof because the bodies are still there. And for example, in the case of this bilocated man, the doctors say the body is even flexible. For me, that's the proof that if a body is dead and doesn't corrupt, why wouldn't our body alive be like that, eternal?
What's her name?
Maria de Jesus de Agreda.
Ian, how come her body doesn't decay? Is she pretending to be dead and not actually dead in her tomb?
No, she's not dead. She's not dead.
But she's lying there looking like she's dead to stun the people from the metaphors of their mind. She's doing an art project. She's not always there then, right? Body's there, but she's leaving. Aya, isn't that one of the most astounding
performances? Yeah, pretty much. Well, there's lots of people do it. She's just in the soup of it.
No, there's not many people who expose themselves, lay there, and are put there for decades, for centuries. If there are some people like that, where are they doing it? In their mother's home? In their son's home? Where are they lying? And everybody's keeping a secret that they're lying there.
Well, the cemeteries in New Orleans are full of them.
So they're covered up.
They got their little houses made of ticky-tacky, you know, all lined up in a row, all the same.
In the cemetery.
Little ticky-tacky, yep.
Yeah, what's her name? Marie de Soled, blah, blah, blah. Give me an approximate so I just can't write it down.
Maria de Jesus.
Soled de la Babla. Soled de la Babla.
Soled
de la Babla.
De Cucucu.
De Rococo. De Rococo. Belter.
She's very well known as the Blue Lady because when she relocated in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, she left a flower that is the official flower of Texas.
Ah, oh, the Blue Lady. Okay.
Why the yellow rose of Texas.
Yeah, why doesn't CERN look at her body? Why don't they analyze the chemistry in there? Why
don't
they care? What are they looking to do? What's their goal?
That's another thing. Just money, Bob.
They know they cannot.
Give them some. Give them some money, Bob, and they won't have to worry about
it. I don't say it lasts forever.
Yeah.
May I ask something about the alchemical pitch?
Alchemical pitch?
There is a pitch in the Archaeological Museum of Barcelona. It's a pitch, like any pitch you can eat. Perfect. But it's like petrified. And it was found in the wall of a convent of the Middle Ages. And they think it's some type of alchemical process was done to that fruit so that it, like you said, there are things that stay forever. For me, this is also like a proof of the mystery landscape. These things that don't decay and are there forever.
So why is it not decaying, Ion? Why is the peach frozen like that?
No, if you're GMO.
Peach, Ion?
Yeah.
When did they find it, Roxy? Like thousands of years ago?
No, in the 70s.
In the 70s. So it's a GMO peach.
I think in 71.
Wow.
But it was inside the wall that is a wall from the Middle Ages.
So, Ian, is this was an early Monsanto experiment?
It's the origins of cream of tartar.
I've heard of that. That's like porridge or something, isn't it?
No.
It's a thickening agent, like arrowroot. You put in like gravy and things like that to make it thick.
Very good, thank you. So what were you saying, Roxy?
There is a painting that was commissioned by the Pope Innocent. It looks like the Sputnik and Jesus and God are beside this Sputnik-looking sphere. That was done in the 17th or the 16th century.
Who painted it?
I think Gian Battista Bonincil, something like that. I'm not sure of the name. But
before Milton.
All right, Milton, 1600.
Is that the real representation of the Sputnik and the communications
satellite?
They tried to show that in Paradise Lost.
Milton saw the future? His future?
He did. Well, it's not the future, it was him. Wasn't future.
Oh,
still not.
So Milton, he wrote this huge poem, epic thing, and he did it by going to other worlds and getting information?
Yep, and it's why John Brown tried to explain blindness.
John Brown, the slave leader in the United States folk history? Is that what you're talking about?
Prenatural tumors.
Are these things all like...
Complete treatise of... preternatural tumors.
Ian put all these things there in different periods just to prove what he's saying about the mystery landscape.
Did you do that,
Ian? Time.
We've been accused of such.
What is Ion?
Burning in
what
the belly.
Burning in the belly. Right now is the answer. Okay. Burning in the belly. A new answer.
I've been reading about Leonardo da Vinci, and the more I read, the more I realize he's really special.
He was a nut. He was a nut.
Is he listening?
Do y'all want to see a picture of us? It's on the Google Center.
All right. But you're saying Leonardo was a nut.
Well,
yes.
He's still there. What is he doing?
What's he doing now?
Nothing, honey.
How is he related to Alexander the Great?
He answered you.
Second cousin.
Hey, he says he's nothing right now. He's having sex with something. Something.
Yeah, nothing, honey. He's
nothing
honey.
Right now.
Did he read the Emerald Tablets?
Did he have access to the Emerald Tablets, Ion?
Yes, he did.
Why did you think that?
The real ones?
Because of the eighth tablet, the eighth.
No, she said, is it the real one? She asked if there were the real ones.
That's through the eighth one, yes.
What made you wonder that, Roxy? What in your studies did you find that indicated that?
Gene liked the picture of us.
Gene
liked the picture of us.
In the,
what'd you say, Roxy?
The tablet.
Could you, why
the
did
Medici?
You? The Medici.
The Medici were very interested
Medici.
In the Emerald Tablet.
That damn, is that damn Medici money? Yeah, that's right. Bob owned that. Yeah, damn the Medici's.
I own that.
France. And, fucked up
so
France.
So I got
the
work for
all the way.
Right.
That's why Mary Queen of Scots got all messed up, because she got in there. She's trying to change all that. But see, the king of France, he had a son who married the queen of Mary, Queen of Scots. They had an alliance. And that damn Medici money is what messed it all up. Yeah. Locked her damn head
off.
Hey,
did Leonardo have anything to do with the Voynich manuscript?
Most of them, yes. There's three versions of that.
The Voynich manuscript that Bob talked about with Hillary, did Leonardo draw that?
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. No, that's not that one. That's just passe. No, the real ones, Bob has them in his library. Oh. Isn't that for him in his library for a car?
How old was Leonardo when he drew those?
Six.
6 years old. Okay.
Thank you. What is he working on now? Is he going to reactivate the Chambord Castle?
Yes.
Is there any way to contact him?
Yes.
To see him, to talk to him?
Yes.
Could you tell me how?
Just call him on his cell phone.
Okay.
If you want to be his love, just call him on his cell phone.
Ian, did you help Roxy get into the famous German Artist Union Prize Committee the other night? Did you help her get in?
Yesterday.
Or did she do it on her own power?
Well, how do we say that? If we say we help, that's wonderful and good, but it means that she couldn't do it by herself. And if we say she did it by herself, then she's separating herself from non-physical in her process of ascension. So either way, you're bragging or complaining either way. So it seems vulgar,
both.
Isn't it?
It's both.
Okay, Lib, got you.
I know
all right,
you are putting all these things in my awareness because I don't even have to look for them.
So what did Roxy learn?
Hers is more esoteric, that she has access. That's the thing. Well, if you just want to have it, here you go. She was mad because she wanted to have access. She wanted to have pure, complete access all the time, all the time. She always had access all the time, all the time. But it wasn't the way she thought it was supposed to be. So the way she thought it was supposed to be was the way she wanted. Anything after that, she wasn't going to have it. Stomp, stomp, slam, slam, bend your head, have a fit, yell, scream, cry, kick, wail, gnashing of teeth, all that kind of stuff. Then you come back around and you acquiesce and go, oh, yeah, I had this all the time. Never mind. Okay, good. It's like Rosanna Dana on Saturday Night Live. Yep, that's it.
Did you get that, Roxy?
Rosanna Dana.
No, I think I think you're exaggerating.
Maybe.
Ian's exaggerating. You're exaggerating,
Maybe.
Ian.
Maybe.
Well, what did Roxy learn from encountering these local famous artists? How did that affect her?
Well, God asked her. She's right there.
No, I'm interested in what you would say that she wouldn't say or didn't notice.
They were talking smack about her behind her back in the third person like she's not even here. That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
I'm not impressed.
Yeah, she wasn't impressed. Why wasn't she impressed with these artists, Ian?
They were glib.
They just talked about Theodore Adorno.
Basically.
Well, I think they have a very limited idea of what art is, because now I see any human creation can become art in the sense we think of art. Like all these castles and all those paintings and all this. It's actually, it was more like a way of trying to reconnect to the non-physical, but this is not going to change your blood. And that's why I see, for example, with Pauline Oliveres, that she really got it in many ways.
Yeah.
Because the frequency goes to your atoms. Sound is particles moving in the air, particles, atoms. So it's so intimate. You think you are connecting with something, but this is not the whole connection.
Not altering her blood.
It was possible to change also with the fasola.
It would. It'll shatter gold.
And I can see how that could be done because it's about this bonding of atoms, and all matter is vibration.
Yes.
So from what you say, I understand that even matter deep listens because matter is affected by sound.
It does. It is. It's a part of it.
And more, but frequently.
It is.
So how would you define matter? What is matter? Is it just vibration?
No, it's more to it than that. You better go to states.
States of frequencies?
No, it's of matter.
States of matter.
It's what atoms and molecules are composed of. Here's matter. The matter is anything that has a mass and takes up space. So if you don't, then you do not matter. Then you don't matter. Then it doesn't matter.
But you said the state of matter changes with the heat, for example. Sometimes water changes from liquid to gas.
Yes.
Is the transmutation really just heat?
Mm.
Because, for example, this castle is in foray. Foray means fire.
Rode foray.
Is that a person, Ion?
No, it's a place. It's matter, Bob. It's matter. Rode foray.
Where is that?
Rotterdam.
Where the castle we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the place we were talking about. Come on, Bob. This is your damn show. Join us here. We're trying to do other things here.
Isn't the stone everybody was looking for just magnesium?
No. It most certainly was and is not. That's what we're using to save Big Pharma.
What does it mean to save them, Ion? They can save face and then start using it?
They're bad drugs. It's death by modern medicine. All get saved because magnesium makes their bad pharmaceuticals work. So it's great.
What's that mean, Carol? Is that what you're pointing out, that the drugs they're effective because of the magnesium at first, the reaction
right.
by magnesium?
No, it makes it work. It makes it work, and it helps in saving Big Pharma. They love it. It's great.
Is it maybe the stone some type of transmutation of magnesium, like water becomes plasma?
Nope.
And magnesium becomes...
Water does not become plasma. It does not. Nope. Al2SO4, not. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in Benghazi. That's where the fun is going to be this week.
Hey, where's that?
It's a matter,
is that
Bob.
Hillary Clinton?
It's a place. It's a
is that
place.
Hillary Clinton
in this world?
There's emails about it, Bob. Emails.
Where? To me?
No,
okay.
Benghazi. That's where Benghazi is in emails. Come on, Bob.
All right. Benghazi is
Thank
an email.
You very much.
You're welcome, Roger.
No, there are. You're welcome. There are emails in Benghazi.
Well, aren't emails in the chip body, which is no place?
Oh, but then when they get you put in jail, they are someplace.
Okay, now we have someone from Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. What's your name?
I would like to stay anonymous, please, because I have a question kind of that would maybe conflict with my career interests. Is that possible to stay anonymous?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Before you start, you're not anonymous to us. That's okay, though, right? We'll leave you anonymous, but you're not anonymous to us, okay? As long as that's all right, you don't mind.
Yeah, I know that. Okay. So,
okay.
I've been dealing with brain fog for about 6 years now. And, you know, I've been on the RNA drops for 2.5 months and Remag for 6 months, Remite and all that stuff. And, I mean, I'm pretty much on everything, you know, really advanced multivitamins. And I know the problem is in my gut. That's where the problem is. My brain is really healthy because I have three theories based on this. I've tried taking MMS or Miracle Mineral Solution or chlorine dioxide.
That's goat medicine, MSM. That's what goats eat. If your goat gets sick, give it that. It'll help your goat. When your goat gets sick, it's on the grass. It's good stuff.
When I take this, within 1 hour, my mind reverts to its prior state of zero brain fog, and my IQ goes up by about 30 points, but it only lasts for an hour. And my theory is that it's somehow oxidizing toxins released from dysbiotic pathogens in my gut. The other thing is, what I've noticed is when I take resistant starch, which induces butyrate production by your gut bacteria, that my brain fog also goes away for 1 hour, but then it comes back. The problem is I've only found stuff that is able to temporarily take away the brain fog, but I've never been able to solve the dysbiosis problem. Every time I take high doses of probiotics, the brain fog increases by about 20-fold, and I can barely function.
So don't do that. We hear good things about meth. If you try meth, methamphetamines are great. You should try them.
What's the root cause? There's some sort of dysbiosis going on in my gut because I've taken high doses of antibiotics in the past, and that is what kind of resulted in this dysbiosis.
Lord, suffering cancer. Have you considered suicide? Suicide will clear that brain fog right up. The fog will get you. Suicide will work now. It'll work. You got to go out of it. But there might be something not quite so invasive. What do you think?
You know, I'm kind of, I've tried everything, you know, RNA drops. I mean.
You're overthinking the metabolism of your meat sack packing body. This brain fog that you declare is nothing other than an imbalance of how you're processing your sugars. You're using the sugars and your lipids that overrun. And this is where, Bob, remember the difference between the thalamus and the thymus and the hypothalamus, and that all connects behind the chest to the base of the brain back and forth. Remember we had that about a week or so ago, that they're three different things and they're the same thing, and we kept saying they were the same, but they're not the same, but they're connected. This is what he's describing prolifically. When you don't process the sugars in an appropriate way within the lipid pattern base, then your thyroid picks that up and pronounces it as hyperthyroid or hypothyroid, which then sets you into what you call brain fog. But it's not really something from the nastiness of your gut. Any purge would take care of that, but you won't know that. So we would say take a super sugar, and apply it to your gut and watch. It will also clear the fog, as you were, and you don't have to have all that other stuff. It's too chemical. It's a simple base.
Why is that for some reason that anything that I've taken to temporarily repair the tight junctions that join the enterocytes of my gut cells, why has that reversed the brain fog temporarily?
It's the click. It's not permeable. No, it's not permeable. It's a flipping the switch. When you start drinking or eating, all the blood runs to your belly to begin digestion. So it runs that way. So when all the blood runs there, then it basically makes you have the feeling place of the fog lifting. Because, see, within the lipids, your trichocytes is what we're going to call them, the trichocytes and how they apply within the white blood cell. By the way, your bilirubin is off in your meat sack body. You should have that looked at. So you'd want to balance that, also help. But the fog is not coming from your gut. It's coming from your brain. It's circuitry-induced sparks in your brain make you say fog, or clears and then comes back. Fog is normal. This lucidity is, it's the opposite of the way you're saying it. You tone that part down and ease up on the balance, you might find a middle ground, as it were, that will help you.
How would I ease up on the balance? What tools can I apply to do that? Because you're saying blood sugar balance, I've taken things like alpha-lipoic acid, for example, that, you know, increase glucose uptake into my cells and all this stuff to balance my blood sugar. But my blood sugar, my hemoglobin A1C is completely fine, and all my blood sugar levels are perfectly fine. So it's not a blood sugar problem.
We know that. We didn't say that. All right, here's what you do. You're taking the RNA drops, and you're taking Remag and Remite. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's working, but you say you still have the frogs in your brain?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, do you know what sorghum syrup is?
It's a flavor used for barbecue sauce or baked beans?
No, it is not.
So it's just sorghum grass that has high sugar content.
It's a syrup. It's sorghum grass.
Molasses.
Well, if you cook it, sorghum is different than molasses.
Oh.
Why don't you spell it, Ion? You love to spell, but you do it inappropriately. Now's a good time to spell.
O-R-G-H-U-M SERP. S-Y-R-U-P.
Sorry, a sugar syrup. That's what it is. It's to sweeten things, sweeten foods.
No, it's sorghum syrup. We're saying get some sorghum syrup and take it in your meat sack body.
Get and then what would that...
Hurricane sorghum. It'll clean up your shit. It'll give you the right kind of sugars.
That kind of sugars?
The right kind of sugars.
And my brain is not getting the glucose it needs to function?
God, we didn't say all that. You have a frog problem. We're trying to clean out the frogs. So if you're not hypoglycemic and you're not diabetic and you, all your A1C and CBAs and ADBs and CBCs and blah, 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 they're all good and you're still somehow alive, we don't know how, in your meat sack body on this planet Earth, then sorghum syrup will give you the contrast. It'll solve whatever issue it is that you are prescribed to. And also that type of sugar, that natural sugar, will clean out whatever this bullshit crap thing that's in your belly gut runner that's got things that's got you wormy and got your bilirubin all messed up. Get you some sorghum syrup and some cathead biscuits and eat it. It'll be good. You'll like it.
It's just weird. I allow you to just repeat this comment. It's if I take anything against parasites or bacteria, I get thrown into a major bout of depression, anxiety. It's as if I'm killing these dysbiotic bacteria, and these symptoms are increasing. But for example, if my
sorghum.
Mother,
I know, darling, but just take sorghum. It'll be all right. Not molasses. Get you some sorghum. It's good, and it's going to change what's going to happen. It's going to change. We get it. We already get this. We get this. And that's why we're being so glib when we say try methamphetamines. We're not telling you to take meth. But we said, have you considered suicide? We're not telling you to suicide yourself. Although those will provide relief, but that's not what you're asking. You're asking how you ascend, how you get into the non-fogged position all the time. And we're saying you can't do that until you get the distance between you and you to where you can see the difference. For example, how would you adequately know that you're depressed? What would you use as your bias to say, oh, gosh, I'm going to this clinical depression? People who are clinically depressed have a hard time knowing it most times. Just like the paranoid schizophrenic, they don't know they're paranoid or what they're upset about, but they know you're looking at them, and they know they're coming, and they know where you are. You see, that becomes a whole different thing. Go ahead.
Because I'm comparing it to my prior state. For example, if I administer 500 billion units of probiotics, within about 6 hours, I get major anxiety. Person to my baseline state would be considered as depression because I can compare that to how I was 6 hours prior to administering these probiotics or antiparasitics or whatever. For some reason, if I administer these things, I get these major die-off symptoms, which other people in my life have also tried, but they don't get these same symptoms. It's as if after the antibiotic use, I have major dysbiosis occurring, which I'm having trouble taking care of, and it's increasing gut permeability, and it's resulting in the influx of toxins into my bloodstream, which are affecting my brain function. It's altering the
There are no toxins in your bloodstream. There are no toxins. The red blood cells in your body will take care of those toxins. If there were those toxins in your brain, you'd be dead. So there are no toxins. There are no toxins. Every toxin in there, every staff on your body you got to have to make it through the night. You'll be all right. Get you some sorghum syrup. Every time you feel that way, take a spoonful of sorghum. It'll help. It'll be fun. It can't hurt, huh?
And I also have a question. It's basically, there's certain supplements I can take to perform normally. For example, I can take ephedrine. And that helps me perform normally. Again, it's similar to it's similar to amphetamines, obviously. It's a derivative, right, from a plant, which does help me function normally. But the problem, I lose a lot of motivation after I take a single dose after for the next 2 weeks. So it's kind of a problem. I also take alpha-lipoic acid to help me get through because I'm currently in university, right? So I take that to get me through school. For some reason, that seems to clear my brain fog and helps me read course material. I don't know how it's helping me, but for some reason it's helping me, the alpha lipoic acid. But I'm just wondering, like, is there anything I can do right now to help me better get through this university term, other than the sorghum syrup? Is there anything I can do to increase my ability to take up information?
Sorghum will do it.
How much would you...
Take a teaspoon every time you have the frogs.
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
No, and we're not being glib either. That'll really work. And all that other bullshit you're taking, when you go by the next commode, flush every bit of it. It's doing you a terrible, terrible amount of disdain. It's not serving you. Flush it. It's going to the toilet anyway. Just go ahead and flush it. It'll be good. Take your compartments, get you some sorghum syrup, and get rid of the frogs. You'll be all right.
Did I hear you say he should rub Renew on his stomach?
No, he said throw all that stuff in the commode, all that other crap.
No, no. 10 minutes ago, you said something about rub it on his stomach. Was that Renew?
No. No, no, no.
Mm. What did you recommend to do on his rub
Renew,
on his skin?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, okay.
It, Renew would send him into another world, Bobby. He's just barely hanging on to this one by a thread.
That's what you want to tie the Renew later. When you're ready for
no,
it.
No, no, not yet, not yet. Sorghum first. Sorghum first, A9.
Yeah.
Shit. Pure bullshit. Unadulterated fodder out of the field that's put in a barn and set in a silo and brought forth for the bull to consume voraciously. You have talked yourself into this ridiculous hypocrite biology doomsday divisive capitulated position of pisons in the pituitary. You'll never live through the day if that's the case. If half of what you just said is true, you'd be stone cold dead. Or wannabe. So meth becomes a good choice. So we're saying soften all that. Get you some sorghum syrup, some natural sorghum syrup. Take a spoonful every time you feel that way. Call us tomorrow. Call Dr. Dean tomorrow.
Do you see the RNA drops helping me get over this brain
sure.
fog?
They have. They have. They have. You have bits of lucidity, but we're not trying to get you over the fog. We're trying to tell you that what you think is the cleared place is the foggy place. The foggy place is the good place. You've just got to get the distance between you and you clear. Like we said, how do you know if you have depression? You say, well, I feel this way when I do this, and I feel this way when I do this. And then we're going to say, guess what? Anon, there's relief every time you stop hitting yourself in the head with a hammer. Every time you quit, there's relief. This fog, or frogs, as we're going to call them, these reptiles that are in your brain are good. You got to work within the frogs. And then the sugar and the sorghum, the natural parts in the sorghum, will help bring all that to fruition. And a little more protein would not hurt you. Do you not like protein?
You're absolutely right on that. I'm actually limited because what I'm noticing is that my confusion worsens if I increase my protein intake above 40 grams.
That should be 40 grams a meal, not a day.
For some reason, it's causing me to be really confused, and it's altering my motor planning performance. And if I increase above 40 grams of protein, I become really disoriented. And
get you a 30-ounce, a 28-ounce porterhouse T-bone steak and eat every damn drop of it. Eat it all, and if you fall over dead, it'll be for a good cause. Get you some damn meat in your gut and let your body start actually processing something that is of some valuable good. We're talking real meat, something of a mammal variety. Meat. Eat that. Pig. Swine is divine. Get you a country ham or a tenderloin and eat all of it. Get you some meat, and then all this crap will go away.
I had to stop eating meat, though, because meat was making it worse. I fell into, like, the worst state of my life when I eat meat, so I had to stop eating meat and I had to switch over to rice protein.
Well, my God, no wonder you got frogs in your head. He's probably wormy, too. You probably got candida. You probably got everything else in there, too. Ooh-wee, get you some meat. Make your body do what it's supposed to be. You're carnivore. You're supposed to eat meat. You're taking the RNA drops, and your body says, oh, we're going to ascend, and you're feeding it rice protein. Nice, nice. Yeah, I guess you could just go to mother's milk. Maybe breast milk might be easier on you. Maybe that's a good protein. The colostrum might help you. Yeah, but we're being verbose because you got it all upside down. You can play it any way you want to play it, but that's all upside down. Got to get back to the flour mill, Pappy, and get you some meat.
Okay, Nova Scotian, you can stay on the line, but we're going to go to some other callers. You know you can listen to this in the archives.
When you decide to start living, we want some reports back. It'll be great. And let us know if you die, Bob will send flowers. It'll be great.
Okay, thanks a lot, Nova Scotian. Let's try Eliza.
Hi. You know what just happened? I had my questions typed up, but they just disappeared.
Ta-da! You're welcome. Do you have frogs? Do you have moments of depression? Do you have problems in your gut? Is your blood runny? Do you have parasites? Do you have lucidity problems? Are you depressed? Are you paranoid, schizophrenic? We can help. Take sorghum syrup. It'll help you. And protein, real meat protein.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, wait, no, there's an echo. Let's go back. Let's do something you really want to do. You want to do something you really want to do? It'll be fun.
What is that?
What you were thinking about this morning.
This morning.
We all know what Eliza was thinking. We were enjoying it.
You didn't think we'd know that, eh?
So I was thinking about a few things. What specifically are you talking about, Ion?
The second thing. This is so much fun.
The hypothalamus?
Okay.
I noticed probably 2 weeks ago, the lymph nodes seemed as if they were melting away. They just became so soft, and they seemed as if they were just going to go away probably within another week or so.
Yay! So you're now letting your endocrine system actually start working. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
And see, and you're not even dead or nothing. Isn't this great?
Yep, it's great. Is there anything else you wanted to say on that?
Yes, we now are making some new for you neurons that secrete hormones. We're making you some new TRH.
What does that hormone do?
It's going to straighten out what's wrong. Are there special cells in your hypothalamus? Thalamus.
Thyroid-releasing hormone.
Yes.
So they're being strained out. That's really good.
We're getting them straightened out because you were sideways, and that's what caused all this blah, 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 blah. We don't even want to talk about it because you'd have to kill yourself if we told you one more time. But this will take care of that and get your endocrine system back to kicking like a kid again. So you can smoke methamphetamines like you want to.
I've never done that, smoking
you amphetamines. You shouldn't, but we're just saying so you won't have to. This will work.
Well, I'm sure glad that things are getting back into order.
Salt. Stop playing with the salt. Stop playing with the salt. Stop playing with the salt. Stop playing with it. Do what you're supposed to do. She's told you and told you and told you. Just do that. You get all smart and get all something, 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 and then you end up in a bed, and then you're going to call her, and she's going to say, what about the salt? And you're going to say, well, that's what I was thinking. So stop it. Don't do that. Don't mess with the salt. Dr. Dean told you what to do. Just do that.
Are you talking about missing my dosage of salt?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You knew that.
Yes, of course we know that. Then we work and move in heaven and earth trying to keep your damn ass alive, and you can't even follow them erections. You'll probably get frogs over this. You know that, don't you?
I really try to stay on top of adding the salt. And,
well,
you know,
really try to do that. It's different than doing it. So you want us to move heaven and earth. We're supposed to make you feel good. We're supposed to make you happy. We're supposed to make every damn dream in the world come true. But you don't even bother to even acknowledge that there is something for you to do, this thing called living. Life is a participation sport.
So that explains the reason why I kind of felt depressed this morning, because I didn't have the sea salt in my water.
For normal people, we'd say, good Lord, suffering can't know. But for you, you have made such a regimen of recovery. You're making recovery an art. So if you're going to make recovery an art, then yes, you must do everything precisely and in pristine order to make you. You'll notice it. You're running a pretty good machine. From where you were to where you are now, it's euphoric. It's wonderful. But now you've got it on the run. Now do some good. You now know what to do, so do it.
Yes. No more procrastinating.
It's not procrastinating. It's living, darling. It's living. You got to do what you're supposed to do, otherwise you'll never know. That's kind of like, what if you went and ate every time you were hungry? How would that work out for you?
What if I went what?
And ate every time you thought you were hungry.
Oh, then I wouldn't be hungry.
Right, but if you were hungry and you ate every single time you did, how would you ever know to eat?
My hunger.
But if you ate every time you had hungry, you'd never be hungry, would you?
No.
That's the trick your body's playing with itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why your endocrine levels have to stay balanced. Now, listen, we're not being mean. We were actually being really, really, really soft and easy, because we could have been much more to the point, but that was enough. I mean, you got the point, and that's where it was. And we don't have to qualify anything, because we say what we say. But we're just saying it's a softening process, and you're actually doing very well. One small little thing doesn't send you off the chains, but it will be able so you can tell when you're off the chains. This is just exactly the opposite between you and Anon. Anon is over the top on every little thing, and you're working hard just to get a baseline. See the difference? The both sides of the same conversation?
Yeah.
Yummy.
Yummy.
Anon, Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia, I'm referring to you as Anon, A-N-O-N.
Yeah, Anon. He wanted to be anonymous. He wanted to be Anon. It's okay. That's what caused alcoholism, is Anon.
Ian, I'm going to try to remember the questions I had down in my notes, but thank you.
Midbrain. They're all deposited midbrain.
What about midbrain?
That's where your questions are reposited. Not in the long term and not in the short term. They're midbrain. That's why you can't retrieve them. And that's okay. It's all right. Please help. Okay. We get you on the program, and you're going to be all right. We're going to see to it. You beg us to get out of that body before we ever let you go.
Okay.
You didn't expect that one, did you?
No. So one of my questions was the difference between feelings and emotions. I looked both of them up, and feelings are like an emotion or reaction.
No. Feelings are what you do. Emotions are based on what you felt.
So what would you say the force field is? Is it either a feeling or an emotion?
The line between ecstasy and agony.
So it's not complete ecstasy?
Not for you.
Okay, not for me, but for...
Well, how would you... But then we'd say, then we'd come back and we'd say, how would you know? See, if you don't have the agony, you wouldn't necessarily recognize the ecstasy, would you?
No. I'm going to listen to this again. Bob, did you write down what Ian said about emotions?
No, I didn't even hear it. I was too busy typing.
Ian, are feelings more fleeting?
No, feelings are what you felt. How do you feel with your hands? What did your hands
feel?
What
part of the body are they, Ion?
Fingertips.
Feelings are in the fingertips, or are they in the hypothalamus? Like, what's some of the brain parts or anatomy that goes with feelings as opposed to emotions?
None. Feeling is the tactile part of the rub. Feeling is what the nerve ending sends. It's what it uses to send the message. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. Well, how do you feel? Well, I feel like if I had my hands around my throat, I'd be killing myself. Your hands would kill yourself. That's what you feel. I feel that.
That's what people would call physical. That's the physical.
Okay.
The sense of physicalness.
Okay.
So what is emotion then? Where are they? What part of the brain are the emotions in? Or what part of the body?
The one that decides to say that I don't want my hands to feel like they're killing me.
And where is that happening? Is there a place in the body? Anatomically?
Charlton Heston and Rex Harrison.
That would be in the TV body. See, you're just very
Harry, Harry Andrews.
There it is, Carol. The first application of the TV body in medicine. You heard it here today on our 7th anniversary.
Alberto Lupo.
This is our imagery we're made up of. This is our, well, I don't want to say unconscious, but this is the part not noticed that's affecting our emotions and feelings.
The agony and the ecstasy.
Agony and ecstasy. Get that, Eliza? You brought us to a new place, Eliza.
So love, joy, hate, anger, do they all fall under emotions?
No, different movies. That would be
different
maybe
movies.
Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn.
That's right. On Golden
different
Pond.
Different movies. They don't do that in med school. They don't slap movies on your anatomy. They just have you study the old chemical body skeleton. We're adding a new dimension of our bodies here, Eliza.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ian, the words and the words, names, places that I looked up last week when I was doing research on them, the words that you gave me, during my research, certain feelings or emotions came up. I noticed them, but I didn't make a big deal out of them. I just moved on and continued with my research. I was reading about the Byzantine Empire and the Ottoman Empire. So was that one of the reasons why you had me look those places up, those happenings, events? Was for those feelings?
Yes. And now we're going to tell you to find Irving Stone.
Oh, he's an American writer?
Yes. Lust for Life.
Okay, so he was an American writer chiefly known for his biographical novels of noted artists, politicians, and intellectuals. Among the best known are Lust for Life, about the life of Vincent van Gogh, The Agony, and The Ecstasy.
Imagine that. Up, dot.
Dot. Did Irving Stone know anything about the force field?
Yes, it's laid out in The Passions of the Mind.
Oh, I had another question for you. Am I related to Jefferson in any way? Because I keep reading about him.
Mm-hmm.
In which way? Was it Thomas Jefferson or Edgar Ryleman?
It's more from Jefferson's daddy's mama's side.
So his father, Peter, was a parallel worlder. His mother's side, were they also parallel worlders?
Yes.
Did I have a specific family tie with Jefferson?
Mary Branch. And daddy was Christopher Branch. She's married to Sarah Almond. And her daddy was Christopher Branch, and her mama was Sarah Almond, and that's where you're connected. Now, not the fields, now. Stop it. It's not the field side. It's the paternal side from Thomas Jefferson. It's Thomas Jefferson II's mama, which would be Peter Jefferson's grandmama, which would be Thomas Jefferson's great-great-grandmama. Mary Branch. And you're going to find it in that Sarah Almond.
Hmm.
Your namesake.
My namesake.
You.
So Sarah Almond, did she come before Mary Branch?
Yes, because that would be her mother.
Oh, Sarah, it was her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how is she my namesake?
Because that's the way y'all rolled it in Henry Cove, Virginia.
Okay, Eliza, I've had enough of this. That's
okay.
Got some other topic?
Before Bob killed himself.
Thank you, Ayan. That was
right. You're welcome, darling. We're glad you're feeling better. It's going to get better yet. Just keep those frogs beat back, darling.
Yeah,
you'll be all right. See if Karen will make you a frog repellent. She can make me make a frog repellent with the yeast disorders. We can kill back the frogs and the yeast all at the same time.
Frogs meaning fog.
Speaking of fog repellent, they have acid fog in the 100,
yeah.
And they were using
Mount Weather makes it. Yes, they do.
Okay, here's 808. 808, you can speak. You should have heard the little noise of you being unmuted.
Bloop. It sounds like that. Bloop.
Is that me?
Yes.
It
What's
is.
Your name?
Margaret.
Okay, Margaret, go ahead.
Well, I've been on the Completement products for almost 5 years.
Yay!
And, yeah, a lot of what this has been said this time has been very relevant.
Of course. That's why they have to pay us the big bucks, and sometimes we're relevant, yes.
Can you recommend any improvements or changes in my dosages? Of the drops for the Remag, the Relight, the Realign.
What's wrong with gluten for you?
I don't know.
Do you enjoy gluten?
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to have bread without gluten. And
do you?
Bread with gluten. Occasionally, it doesn't taste very good.
Uh-huh. So it's not something you crave. You don't crave, like, pastries and breads and that kind of stuff.
No, not really. And I would like to know about the restructure, if that's going to be good for me, the new protein product.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
But we'd almost suggest a little bit of gluten. What would be wrong with it? Have a little. Can't hurt.
Have a little gluten. What's a little?
A peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of bread that is gluten bread.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And then put bacon on it and batter it and deep fry it and then eat it. It'll be good going down your throat hole. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter and jelly with bacon Monte Cristo with powdered sugar. There you go.
All right.
Try it. Not every day. Just once in a while. It's okay. Like a special Sunday brunch or something.
Uh-huh. I got the sorghum syrup. Maybe try some gluten bread one day. Toast it up with some oil and butter or something.
Oil. Mm-hmm.
How about gaining weight? I'd really like to gain some weight.
You eat peanut butter and jelly Monte Cristo sandwiches, and you will gain weight.
What's a Monte Cristo sandwich?
You take a fourth of a cup of creamy peanut butter, a fourth of a cup of strawberry jelly or whatever you prefer, 8 slices of brioche or a nice thick Texas toast bread. You take about a half a cup of heavy whipping cream, 2 eggs lightly beaten, and a fourth a cup of butter, and confectioner's sugar to balance it. Then you put 1 tablespoon of peanut butter on the 4 pieces of bread, and then the jelly on the other 4 slices. You put them together, and fry bacon crispy and put that in the middle of it. And then you whip the eggs and you make it into a flour batter. You dip the sandwich into the batter and then put that in a deep fryer and fry the sandwich. Take it out, cut it in half, douse it with powdered sugar, and eat it like it's good. If you don't have a fizzgasm, honey, you did it wrong.
That's a half a cup of
creamy peanut butter. Oh, yeah, and heavy whipping cream. That's what you make your batter out of. And 2 eggs lightly beaten.
Okay.
Okay. Margaret, you can listen to this in the archives. We're not sitting around while you write this stuff down.
A small bowl whisked together cream and eggs. And now it's going to medium heat. On top of 1 tablespoon of butter. Dip the egg sandwiches in the mixtures and cook for 1 to 2 minutes per slice until golden brown. Repeat with main sandwiches. Sprinkle with complex sugars if desired. Eat till you have a gizgasm. There you go. That's in the archives all together for you. You got it. Yay.
You've been on the project for 5 years. Have I ever spoken to you?
No, you haven't.
Have you talked to Carolyn?
I haven't. David has. David Holt.
Hey, Carolyn, do you know David? Oh, okay, David Holt, right. Heard of that name. So you're living in, where's Hilo? Is that on Big Island or on Maui?
No, I'm in Waikoloa.
Okay,
Big Island.
You've been here a long time?
Been here since
Reconstruction.
That'd be Civil War.
Say it loud.
95.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 95. Been here over 20 years.
In Waikoloa.
Well, that's good.
It's excellent. And now
what'd
I want to just get. I want to get feeling really good. I want to get well.
Well, you came to the right
Yay.
Place. If we
Yay.
Don't make you feel better, nothing will. We got so much working for us, you can't fail.
I believe
get
that.
But your mind, you got a mind, ooh. Oh, the mind could change everything.
All right, well, I'll check this in the archives. I'll give it all a try, see what happens.
Have you heard Ion make fun of total biology?
It's hypocrite biology. It's terrible.
It's terrible. Hypocrite biology.
Well, anything that
that's
you take for disease to prove what's wrong with you seems to be sort of contra-intuitive, doesn't it? If you have something that hurts that's wrong with you that you use to tell what's wrong with you, that's what's wrong with you. Why does the what you want to have to be become what you are? So I have a headache, so that means my head hurts. That means I've hurt somebody in the head. So every time I shoot somebody in the head, I feel like getting a headache. So if I feel like getting a headache, if I shoot somebody in the head, then I shouldn't have a headache because I shot them in the head. So the hypocrite biology says, don't shoot them in the head and you won't get a headache. Doesn't make any sense when you still get the headache anyway.
That's something you're going to have to re-listen to. That's profound,
and
Margaret.
Do you look at the Goober Snatcher? Do you get to look at the Goober Snatcher?
That's the chat line on the show here.
Oh, yeah.
You're not on.
We put a picture of this particular Monte Cristo on there for you. That's the one you should eat. You wanted to increase your weight a little bit, yes?
Yes, and so what do you say?
Look at that picture.
You go to Achieve Radio. AchieveRadio.com, and you look at the chat line, and you'll see Ian just posted a picture of whatever he's talking about. People are saying, boy, that looks good. They're all saying, oh, that gizgasm sandwich looks good.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So get your relatives, your children, or your grandparents, or Jesus to get you on the chat line and look at it. All right?
And then call Thomas Jefferson and Sarah Almond, and they'll get you hooked up with it.
Everybody's going nuts over the picture. They're all coming. Oh, my God, that's disgusting. That is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. PB&J, Monte Cristo. I mean, are you kidding? Are you nuts?
I
don't believe anything I said. Look at this stuff, Carolyn. Look at this outrageous.
And if Carolyn made that and laid it on the sink counter, Bob would eat it like it's gold, like it's foie gras.
Yes, if Carol presented to me, look at that, Carol. This is what I was recommending to Margaret.
Oh, my God.
You hear that, I asked, oh, my God. But everybody thinks it's beautiful, Carol.
Just one a day.
Just one a day will keep everybody.
It's a peanut butter and jam?
Yeah. Peanut butter and jam. Delicious.
Monte Cristo.
Bagel. The peanut butter and jam bagel.
Monte Cristo. Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo. Which part is the Monte Cristo? The white powder or the
No, when you deep fry it.
Then you call it a Monte Cristo.
That's what a Monte Cristo is. Sometimes it's made with ham and cheese. You can do that, too. We say add bacon.
People are going, what? I'd be gone in seconds if it was left on the counter. Someone else says, I'd love to have that dripping off my face. Someone says, Bob is such a food prude. No, I'm a joker. I'm a put-on artist. I'm a liar. Okay? Food prude. I've eaten more crap than you'll ever remember you ate.
He's eating so much crap. Tell him about the Puffs era. Tell him about Puffs. Tell him about Puffs.
The Puffs era,
tell him about that damn green drink.
Came here in 2008.
Tell him about the Snicker bar, Bob. The Snicker bar.
No, Puffs. Pick on topic. Puffs.
Yeah, well,
2008, we come here. Mark, we came here in June 2008, and I didn't understand this climate at all. I didn't know where I was. I've been in New York for fucking decades. I didn't know what my stomach was. So I went real simple. I started eating nothing. What are those puffs, Carol? They're like empty grains or rice or something. I lived off them
for
6 months.
They're probably rice protein or something really delicious.
Yeah. And I laid low because old Pele was watching me. I had to pass the test. If Paley don't like you, you got to leave. So I kept it real careful and cautious. And little did I know that a post-Paley ion would show up 9 months later.
Dun, dun, dun.
That changed everything.
Dun.
And I threw the pups away, and I started living on Snicker bars.
Then he killed Ken, and everything got okay after that.
They started killing people and getting away with it, Margaret. Are you even still here, Margaret?
She went to get a Monte Cristo. It's all right, Bob.
Thank you for reminding me of my past there, Margaret.